Living a Life That Depicts the Teachings of Islam is Day Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our listeners at home, my name is Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, 11th April 2026, corresponding to the 23rd day of Shawwal 1447 AH. It is the fourth Saturday, actually, of the month of Shawwal. That's the 10th month of the Islamic calendar. Now, so we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gift of life and the gift of good health. For those yet to complete the 6 days of fasting, we still have some days left to do the needful. Following up Ramadan with 6 days of fasting in the month of Shawwal is equivalent to fasting for a whole year, according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. There are many people that have since concluded, you know, that fast. So the idea is we don't get too detached from the, you know, from fasting. It's Ramadan that has actually departed, but fasting itself has not gone anywhere. So in that regard, we would like to enjoin all of us, those that are yet to probably fast Shawwal or probably have only fasted 1 or 2 days. We still have some days left for you to be able to complete that. All right. Inshallah, on this program, The Everyday Muslim Show, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, foster peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. This is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with the management of Women Radio 91.7 FM. Allah the Almighty, the Exalted, says in the glorious Quran, if you check Quran chapter 14, Surah Al-Ghafir, verse 60, Allah says, verily, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدُعُونِ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنِ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ, which interprets as, and your Lord said, call on me, invoke me, supplicate to me, and I will respond to your invocation. Verily, those who scorn my worship, that is, those who do not invoke me, who do not seek my assistance, and who do not believe in my oneness, they will surely enter hell in humiliation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from hellfire. This program is streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to join in and to view the studio live. Later on the program, we will open our phone lines for you to call in and share your thoughts. The program again is Everyday Muslim, and it is brought to you by Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. We just want to use this opportunity as well to reiterate that we are seeking your support in terms of sponsorship and our placement. This is needed to sustain the program. We look up to you for your support and assistance. Feel free. And I want to tell you, I want to assure you that you never regret doing so, because this is a very big platform that, apart from, you know, beaming on the terrestrial platform, it's also streaming live on YouTube, and which means that people can view it from all over the world. So imagine that you're bringing your products and services to the attention of the whole world, and I believe that you never regret doing so. Today, inshallah, we're going to take a very important topic, and it has to do with dua or routine, rebuilding a personal connection with Allah. Dua, which is prayer, supplications, invocations, or a routine, rebuilding a personal connection with Allah. And our guest is very much here in the studio with us. She is Hajia Sakina Adifumlola Said. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Hajia.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right. For those of she is a regular face on this program, yeah, so she's not new on this platform, but it's also possible that some of us might probably be listening for the first time, and you might be getting to meet Hajia for the first time. So she is Hajia Sekinadi Fuminola Said, a remarkable individual with a diverse range of roles and talents. She's not only a mother but also a devoted Muslima who continually strives to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to her personal commitment, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's also a married counselor who assists couples in their marital journeys. Hajia Sekina is an entrepreneur demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She's a proud graduate of Lagos State University of Education, LASUED, formerly known as AOKUE. That is, that in the past, it used to be known as Adeniran Ogunsanya College of Education. And in the longer past, Lagos State College of Education, you know, it has actually transformed from LAKUE to AOKUE and now to LASUED. All right. So, Hajia's, one of our favorite statements is, "What is my body weight to enter Jahannam, the fire of hell?" That statement reflects her deep commitment to her faith and serves as a reminder of the importance of one's spiritual journey. So today, I want to take a look at dua or routine, rebuilding a personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For many of us, our relationship with Allah has become structured, scheduled, and sometimes distant. Yeah, we pray, we recite, we make dua, that is, we supplicate to Allah. But somewhere along the way, what was meant to be a deeply personal connection can begin to feel like a routine, like a mechanical exercise. These words are there, but the presence is missing. The actions are there, but the feeling is distant. This raises an honest and uncomfortable question. Are we truly connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we are simply going through the motions? Are we just undertaking a mechanical exercise? Or we are connecting with our Creator. So, dua, which is translated as supplication, was never meant to be a script. It was meant to be, it is meant to be a conversation, an intimate, sincere, and alive. A space where the servant turns to their Lord, and not just for obligation or out of obligation, but out of need, hope, and love. So, on today's episode of Everyday Muslim, we are glad to be joined by Hajia Sekinadi Fuminola Said to explore what it really means to rebuild that personal connection, to move beyond routine and rediscover the depth, the sincerity, and the closeness that should define our relationship with our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us through. So Hajia, welcome again.
Thank you
after Ramadan. So,
okay,
how's it been?
First of Ramadan. Okay, few days before the commencement of Ramadan.
Yeah, okay, that was the last time we were together.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Okay, good. And Alhamdulillah for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread our lives, you know, to start Ramadan. We completed it. And 6 days of Shawwal fasting. Alhamdulillah, we are still, you know, striving and, you know, trying to improve our relationship and at the same time connect with our Creator. Alhamdulillah. So, we're glad to have you back in our midst today.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right. So, to begin with, many people pray. They make dua. They engage in acts of worship consistently. Yet, there's this kind of vacuum, you know, that spiritual distance that tends to, you know, occur. So, how do we understand the difference between going through religious routines and truly experiencing a personal connection with our Creator?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Rabbi Shura, Sadar, Wayasir, Rahamari. Wa ulul uqdatan min nisani yafqahu qawli. Alhamdulillah. Dua is an intimate word. It's raw because it's more, it's like a process whereby you talk to your Lord, okay, like having a conversation. Like I always try to compare some things, like if you are being given an opportunity to speak with the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, I know that you would make some adequate preparation.
Rehearsals. You see lots of rehearsals.
Of course, rehearsals. You wouldn't be talking to him as if you're less concerned. You'll be focused.
Yeah.
There will be connection. In fact, if there's any distraction,
100% attention.
Yes, 100% attention. So dua is a raw intimacy between you and your Creator, yeah, which is even far superior to speaking to the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria.
Absolutely. Who is the president compared to Allah?
Compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about Dua, it's very powerful. It is an opportunity that we shouldn't trade for anything. We should try as much as possible. That, yes, the routine is part of it. Because routine will not make it to be consistent. Routine, we can undo the routine.
Okay.
Yes, we can
undo part
the
of
routine.
It.
Yes, it is part of it. Okay. Because it is an understanding that you needed to do something. Mm-hmm. Your body is accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. You do it every time. Yeah. And the Prophet has encouraged us that Allah loves small duties that are consistent. So that's where routine will come
in. So it becomes a routine.
Yes.
Okay.
But the dua part, sometimes you only talk. You are not connected. As human being, actually, our level of faith, iman, goes up and down.
Okay. Fluctuates.
Yes. Even the relationship we have within ourselves, because we need to be practical. Sometimes you are deeply connected to people, maybe within spouses, you know. Even after wedding, sometimes you feel the connectivity.
Yeah.
And sometimes you feel the distance.
It is
just normal as human that there's going to be a time of connection.
We experience such fluctuations.
So it also happens within us and our Creator.
Okay.
It is not the end.
Okay.
It is just that we should try and always bring ourselves back to that intimacy and raw connection with our Lord. So at a point in time it will come. You will only be saying your dua, but you should know that you have to be reconnecting.
Okay.
Yes, the connectivity has to come back. You don't just have to say things, because you can, if you say things and you just go, it's just like sometimes when your children ask something from you, they'll say, "Dad, I need something in school," and they forget about it. You have a lot of things that you're thinking, though Allah does not forget anyone. But Allah loves that consistency as well. So the dua part is a means of you talking to your Lord. And you wouldn't want to trade that for anything. If you understand that, that will always pull you back to you reconnecting with your Lord.
Okay. All right. Good. I love this. Although, probably, you know, for many Muslims who tend to believe that, that when we're doing dua, especially because I don't know, and this is just a personal feeling I actually want to express. I'm sorry, probably I'm maybe deviating a bit, but I think it's needed.
No,
you know, there's usually this feeling that probably because when we want to do dua, we always tend to believe that probably it has to be done in Arabic. And for some people who really don't understand the Arabic, well, it does say we have memorized some Rabbana, and every now and then when we say we want to do dua, we just do the Rabbana and we are really not connected. So is it about the language, or probably that it doesn't even matter? We probably have to use the Arabic language. We can actually use our mother tongue or any language that we're very, very comfortable in, that we believe that by the time we're expressing ourselves. So it's not just the words coming out of our mouth, but then it's our hearts connecting with our Creator. As sometimes that you even want to make such dua and you will not even utter a word, but your heart is actually connecting and actually engaging in such a supplication.
Exactly. Even at times, even when you speak in your local language, sometimes you are just saying what you're saying. Do you know there are some duas that you are accustomed to? You are Allah, please help me. It's still in your own language, but you are not connected to your Lord.
Because it has become something you say every now and
every
then.
Yes, it has become routine. That even when you say, I remember when we were very young, my daddy used to say some kind of dua. We all know the dua. We all know how he used to arrange
Yes, in that order, it has always... Yes, so we have understand. Also followed the pattern.
Yes, you don't even understand some of the meaning of these things.
But we know he says it. And yes. And probably we have accustomed to it.
It will get to a certain stage in your life. You will understand the in-depth meaning of what that dua actually entails. Like, I was talking to my daughter. My daddy used to say, if somebody has bad intention, if he's going in the front, may you not meet up with them. When they're coming at the back, may they not meet up with you. May you not sleep with an evil person. But you don't understand. When they say you don't get married to a frustrated person, all those things, it doesn't count when you're young. You don't even understand what.
Because you don't know the implication of those things. Until you now get in there. Oh, so this is implication.
Exactly.
Really?
So sometimes you now felt the in-depth of that prayer when you actually see the essence and the real meaning of that prayer. So your dua is an opportunity for you to get closeness to Allah.
Okay.
So that your heart, you can talk to Allah even that alone is something that should always bring us back. Okay. Something should always trade us back that this is an opportunity.
Okay.
I don't want to trade it for anything.
Up on that then. Since you're talking about the fact that it's supposed to be an intimacy, an interaction, a relationship with our creator. Mm-hmm. So, but you find out that sometimes this intimacy gets lost. Mm-hmm. What are some of the underlying reasons why this happens? Why this we lose this connection? And how do we restore, that connection with our creator?
The connection happens in so many ways. The first one is distraction. So mm-hmm. the distraction can come in so many angles, mm-hmm. especially in this day. Number one is overusing on phone. That is a big one.
Yeah.
A big one for both adults
and younger
teenagers,
ones.
Children. Everybody. Mention it. There is nobody that is an exception.
Sometimes I ask myself, is this not really a blessing?
In
because sincerely, almost every aspect of our lives, it's our addiction to gadgets is becoming a problem. In fact, it's already a problem in different aspects of our lives.
It has even gotten to academics, this stage where
works,
people cannot even think by themselves alone. They just believe that, yes, I
why
had,
should I bother to? In fact, it's like we're just intentionally killing our brain because we feel like, what do I need to bother myself since the gadget is there?
I remember when we were very young, my teacher, may God be with them, I don't know if he's late or still alive, he used to say that this brain is capable of learning billions of things.
Absolutely.
And that was what prompted us to want to maximize the use of the brain then. Mm-hmm. Now, a child of today will now be like, no, you don't need to stress yourself, mommy. You can always go to your phone and do some things. I remember in those days when you are preparing for lecture, you pack tiras now, you pack different books, you will go to Adawa.
I remember Adawa University.
I know I used to make every month I make list of books
that you
I want
buy.
To buy.
Yeah.
These days my children will say, how come you have so many books? Well, you can almost get most
everything
of
online.
I saw a counselor that was my in
a
counseling.
Colleague. Yeah.
I saw her, she said she saw some book, Fragile Vessel. She said, I saw some those books in those days, if you don't have it.
Al-Jibali. I know. How can you be talking about relationship without reading Al-Jibali books?
Exactly. And she was bringing about all these books and we're saying, how many teenagers have it these days?
They don't.
And I was saying, I have it. She said, the person was now looking at me. Normally, in those days, we buy books. We read.
We read books.
It broadens our knowledge.
Yeah.
And today, I can quote you. I can say, I can go for a series of lectures without preparing.
Because it's there.
Yes, there are some inbuilt things that have been injected into us.
You see, it's already
there. I remember
there.
In MSS then, they will say, pick and talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And
competition then. Just write a topic
they
and just
a verse of the Quran and they want you to discuss it.
Hmm.
So it helped us. It's like basically we're even hafiz before we knew we were hafiz.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Absolutely.
So at times we'll feel that this phone of a thing is not making people to learn.
Hmm.
Sometimes you just say, when you give some certain information, Google is on your phone, you can even see it.
Yeah.
They won't go to that aspect. I remember a woman talking to me from at Lagos State Assembly last week, and she was saying that, why is it that the youth cannot say what is important? They will interfere in relationship that does not concern them. Mm-hmm. Ah, celebrities. Somebody that is not yet married is interfering in a celebrity's affair.
Matter.
You understand?
Something you don't know about.
You don't know about. You don't even.
Just
you don't
because
even
you think
like
it's
question
trending.
You on the day of Yamalikiyama. Mm. Everybody wants to say their opinion. Some people mm-hmm. doesn't even want to mind what they say on the social media. They insult people. They, they just ridicule
people. So now, coming back home now. So how does this now affect, amount to, the loss of, connection
with Allah? Yes, the distraction
is there. Okay. So it is a source of distraction.
Yes.
So you are not able to give Allah the kind of attention that
you are supposed to give. Now, for instance, somebody took a phone 2 hours. Let me just check something. And it's there 3-4 hours. Even when you want to go to prayer in such mood, you are wholly present in front of your Lord. Maybe because in the middle of the app, you just pause. Let me just quickly go. Are you actually going to pray? Normally, in those days, you have to perform. Take your time to perform ablution. By the time you are performing ablution, it's not ablution that you are rushing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know whether you are getting the compulsory part of the ablution done.
Correctly, yeah.
Maybe you are washing your hand properly or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are putting your hand in the middle. Maybe you are doing this.
Yeah.
It's just a rush thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of the connectivity with your Lord.
Mm.
And gossip, envy, lack of love,
wow,
unity. We are not even humble enough. Even if you have that connection today, by the time you step out, but you don't even need to step out. Just take your phone, do some little things. Sometimes, even this phone of a thing, you can call people in the US and talk for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Gossip about this, your friend that did
all
this,
the different things.
You know? So, in those days, you have to take transport. But these days, you don't need to take transport. Just get data on your phone,
mm-hmm,
or you buy airtime and you are
chatting,
good to go.
Doing
you can backbite, you can blackmail, you can do a lot of things. You can spoil people's reputation.
Yeah.
Now, how do you want to have that connection with your Lord when you are
engaging all these
things?
Yes,
you are engaging in different things that can distract you from your Lord.
All right. Now, because we're talking about dua, which is a form of worship, actually, sometimes it can become, like we said, habitual, something like a routine. But sometimes it is even something that people rush, or they are emotionally detached. As probably, I just finished praying. And you just stand up and you're going. So sometimes it happens like that. Now, is this a natural phase in a believer's journey, or is it a sign that something deeper needs to be addressed?
It's a sign that something deeper needs to be addressed.
Hmm.
Because actually, we all strive, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't strive. We shouldn't give up striving.
Okay.
Even the early Muslims, sometimes they strive. I remember the story of Anzala, radiallahu
anhu.
He was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were crying when the Prophet was mentioning the grave and some other things. He left there, he went home, and he was playing with his family. At the time, the thing just stuck his mind and said, Anzala has become an hypocrite. And he stood up, he was crying, going back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He met Abu Bakr on the way, and he was like, Hausubillah, Anzala cannot become an hypocrite. We just left the Prophet's place. He said, yes, exactly. We left the Prophet's place crying, feeling so humble, deeply connected to our Lord. And immediately I go to my family. Abu Bakr said, the same thing happened to me. Okay, let's go to the Prophet and see what happened. And by the time they got to the Prophet said, if you were to be in that state that you used to be when you were with me, then the angels would have been shaking your hands while you're walking.
In terms of the elevation of our faith.
Yes, that you have gotten.
Hmm.
And if we don't try to address that deepened part of it, we'll see that we can spend... Okay, there is a write-up that says that if you sleep for 8 hours, it means that if you are spending 60 years on earth, it means you have slept for 24 years out of your life. That's really stuck. So if you now look at yourself, that how many years, how many time am I even spending for my Lord? If death should come today, that's why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to remember death at every point in time. If we remember death, it will always draw us back to the Prophet. It will always draw us back to the connectivity we are supposed to have with our Creator. Sometimes we tend to have that connection. Sometimes when you finish praying, you want to sit. But most times it is always as if it is only when we have problem, real problem, that we always go back to Allah.
And now become married.
Sometimes some people pray, Salaam alaikum warahmatullahi, Salaam alaikum warahmatullahi. They don't even want to have a second with Allah. Do you know, at the time, I didn't understand that duhas used to be accepted after Salah. There was a day I sat down, and everything I requested for immediately after Salah was being answered.
Allahu Akbar.
I said, Allah Akbar. So this is the opportunity we have been missing. So I decided to be more comforted. He's alive. Shaitan will still want to get to us. He has said he will not leave us. At times, I still lose it as human being.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, it happens.
But, you know,
happens.
At times, if you taste that sweetness, so when there is a dear need, then you will now be compelled to
do it. Yeah.
You understand? But even as at that, we should still try. And I heard from a scholar that it is not even the ability when you feel like doing those things that actually matters. It is when you don't feel like doing those things,
and you enforce
those actions on yourself,
then
the connectivity tends to be more stronger. Because in the middle of that thing, you need to stand up, you need to pick your phone, and you are trying to,
you're struggling,
fighting with Shaitan. I have to sit, even if it is not. In doing so, you'll be able to regain the connectivity. Because Allah sees you're struggling. You're making efforts. But in some cases, you don't just like say, I will not even concentrate. Let me stand up. Mm. Our Shaitan was telling you that even if you sit from there, you are not connected to your Lord. Mm. No, we shouldn't do that. But we should try as much as possible. Mm. I watched a video clip some time ago, and it shows how somebody was in the grave and he was trying to bang on the wall of the grave and was trying to call out to people, was trying to reach out to people. You know that anytime that video strikes my mind, it helped me for weeks to be conscious of my prayer, to be conscious of a lot of things. So what are we actually feeding ourselves on? Because these are the things. Yes, are you watching porn, watching troubles, watching? It is it is something that you are actually telling yourself. It is a negative inflation on your soul.
Because it has negative influence on your soul because it kills your soul.
The positivity or the good things that are supposed to come out of you. I read from a Saudi, I saw the video. It said it is a rule in their house that when there is a food on the table and there is a glass cup of water in your front, the father said, don't think of anything negative. And don't say anything negative. Because when you say anything negative, it goes back into the water. You drink it into your body. And that is what you actually believe. And that's what actually happens to you. You understand? So, you, for you to have that connectivity with your Lord, are you actually looking at things that can always bring you back? Something, you know, for some people, so for some of us, we have contacts that somebody will not even bring music. You don't, if you really, you really have those contacts on your phone, people that will post music. But you can always, if you are a conscious person, you always have people that will post valuable things that will help you.
Remind
so
you
even
of
if you have to go to the status, sometimes you just have to meet some people so that you will not be fed with those things. Because constantly feeding on those things will actually make you to deviate from your Lord. The connectivity will automatically break.
All right. Jazakumullah. In fact, before we move on, because we'll also be going on a short break. But before then, something that you said that really struck me, and it's something that I actually want our listeners to also pay attention to. And it's a particular, I think it's a particular hadith that, or you know, a statement that I read, and that has to do with the fact that after salat, because it's something that I also tell people in my masjid, and I try to, you know, discourage it, that it's a very terrible action that you observe salat and you complete your prayer and you just stand up and you leave like that. That I read, what I read was actually the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with such a believer who, after serving Allah, Allah is waiting that you have served me, you have answered my call. So now call upon me, let me also answer your call. And you stand up and you leave. It's a sign of arrogance, disrespect, and pride to Allah that you're telling Allah, I'm not in need of you. I don't need anything from you. I'm okay on my own. So for us as believers,
can anyone be okay without Allah?
Subhanallah. So it's something that we really need to take note of. All right. So now that we are talking about this dua and worship generally, you know, many believers struggle with presence and focus during salah and dua. So what practical and spiritual steps can help transform these moments from routine obligations into meaningful, conscious acts of worship?
Now, alhamdulillah, firstly is discipline. You need to be disciplined. Like this, there's a common word that you have to do with everything you do. It's being intentional.
Yeah.
Be intentional as a parent. Be intentional as a spouse. Be intentional as an educator. Whatever field you have, you have to be intentional. And if you are intentional about those things, then you should be more intentional when it comes to dua and being connected to your Lord. Because you practically need Allah every second of your life. So what you have to do is be disciplined. You don't have to let your nerves control you. You don't have to, because you won't do the lesson. I once read about the body and the soul being enemy on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah, even right from after death, that the soul will be at distance and be watching the dead body. I only asked for these things and you granted me. And they will actually be both punished, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah, you give them an example of a blind man and a crippled man. He will say, okay, there's a fruit somewhere, go and pluck it and bring it. And when they go there, the cripple will say, this is the fruit. The blind man can walk, but he can't actually see the fruit. So they started deliberating among each other. What are we going to do? Allah said we should bring this fruit. He will now say, okay, I can see the fruit. Why don't you lift me up Put me on your shoulder and let me pluck the fruit since I can see. But you are tall enough. And when they pluck the fruit and take it back to Allah, they will now bring the fruit to Allah. Allah said, okay, how did you now do it? Allah that knows before asking. How did you do it? He said, this, I was okay. So the soul and the body, you actually help each other to commit atrocities. And today you will both be punished.
Allahu Akbar.
So it means that you have to help the soul not to get punished. Because if you say you want to give the soul everything it desires, then you actually, it's like the hadith of the Prophet that says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates Al-Jannah, he asked Jibril alayhi salam to visit Al-Jannah. And he said, wow, see how beautiful this place is. There wouldn't be any creature that wouldn't want to enter this paradise. And he said, go and check the hellfire. He did the same. He said, no soul will want to enter this place. He said, okay, go back to Al-Jannah. See what are the qualifications that are needed. Because every job has a description, actually. Look at the things, the descriptions of what it entails to actually attain Al-Jannah. And he came back and told Allah, none of your creation will be ever get into this place. He looked at the hellfire and he said, okay, he said, almost everybody is going to enter this place. So you have to, when Allah laid down a rule and give us a guide, we should know that it's worth us not joking with it. The thought of the grave, that you are only going to be inside alone, no help, nothing, it will help you to want to do some kind of connect, because it will only remain you and your Lord and the good deeds that you are able to put forward. So it tends to come with being intentional, being disciplined. If you are being disciplined, that is when what will help you to navigate, because it's not as if it's going to be easy. Is this going to be easy? No, it is not going to be easy. But are we going to try? Then it is that effort that Allah really needs. May Allah make it easy for all.
Alright, so I want to ask this question before we go for this break, because I've been yearning to do this. I know quite well that for a lot of times, sometimes some people even limit the capacity of their creator by their thoughts to say, can this thing happen? You know, so it happens like that. And so how does our perception of Allah in terms of His mercy, His closeness and responsiveness shape the way we make dua? And could a weak or incomplete understanding of who Allah is be affecting our connection?
Of course it can. Because when you see that, let me take it from here. If Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam could ask Allah of the impossibility in his old age, he was still much convinced that Allah was going to grant him a child. Normally, would have said, at what age? 80. It's just like a man of 80 these days asking for a child. Where is the possibility? But if you know Allah is so powerful, there was a time Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam questioned Allah's that, how are you going to raise us on the day of Yamalik? And after we have been dead, the worms and the earthworms, and they have, you know, we've been resolved to nothing, just
bones. Turn to dust.
How are you now going to raise us? So Allah did a practical example. So we should, then there is an hadith of the Prophet Muhammad that says that, I am to my slave as he thought of me. If you think that Allah cannot, he says, if my slave thinks of me little, become little to him. If he thinks of me big, I become big to him. He said, and there was a saying that if my slave comes to me from the finger to the wrist, I am closer to him from the wrist to the elbow. And if he gets to me from the finger to the elbow, I move the stretch of my hand. Yeah. And if he walks towards me, I run towards him. So we shouldn't be little Allah. Allah has done the unspeakable things. Is it every day of our life? I think that we tend to be more grateful if we count our blessings.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we just need to be more grateful. I did a challenge for my children last year, Ramadan. And we said every day we'll be writing a letter of shukru. We want to think of what Allah has done each day. One thing. I noticed that we don't write one thing. You know, sometimes you make dua and you feel that those dua are not being accepted.
Yeah.
But if it is something that is being written, that's why I formed the habit of doing journal. I realized that so many things, because we don't get it immediately, we ask for. Sometimes you want Allah to go straight. Allah, just give me this. Mm-hmm. But there is a routine that Allah wants to pass through. He will give you that thing. And sometimes you will not notice that He has given that thing to you. Absolutely. Sometimes we ask for risk. Risk is not about money.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are risk in having children. They have, because it is those children that will now liberate them from poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't understand how Allah works.
Mm.
And that is why the Prophet ﷺ told us that as a Muslim, there is a way our dua had been accepted.
Yeah.
May Allah ease our fears.
Allahumma ameen. All right, you are still, we'll go on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us. Welcome back. You're still listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM. This program is brought to you by the Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, in partnership with Women Radio 91.7 FM. And today we are discussing dua or routine, rebuilding a personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our guest discussant is Aja Sakina Adifamila Saeed, an educator, a marriage counselor, handwriting experts, an entrepreneur, and someone who is dedicated to helping people navigate their journey in life and connecting with their creator. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917. Our toll free line for the female callers is 0800-235-917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to the number 081-55-917-917. Program again is Everyday Muslim, is brought to you by MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Center, in partnership with Women Radio. We are also seeking your sponsorship and our placement on this program to keep it going. So we'll look up to you for your support and assistance. And the program is also streaming live on YouTube via the Women Radio page. Search Women Radio on YouTube. Click on the page to join and view the studio live, and to also send in your comments on the live feed on YouTube. All right. So, Hajia, before we went on break earlier, you talked about many things that Allah has done for us, but probably we are not grateful for. Probably because we really don't even understand that it's actually mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was discussing with some people this week, and I'm like, I have this recent experience, and it made me to understand that for someone, for example, for a family, who the family sets up the husband, the wife, and you guys, you know, have children, you will not understand that the children that you have, those children are actually a mercy from Allah until you meet those who have been married for years and have no issue. If you have a child, you would not know that Allah has been merciful to you with that child until probably you see another child that probably, for example, is unable to walk. Then you would understand that. So walking, even for your child, is not automatic. It's not a right, actually a privilege from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have children that are able to hear you when you speak with them. You would not know hearing is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you meet those children that can't hear anything. Even if you ring a bell in their ears, they won't hear anything. And I have seen children too that they are unable to talk. They hear, but they can't speak. I saw one child, some weeks back. This boy is 12 years, and he's unable to say a word other than You speak with him, he hears you. To respond, you just say So it means even the power of speech is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many things that we take for granted. That, oh, you think I've pressed, let me go to, the gent, or let me go to the loo, to the lady, and you're able to do that easily. You don't know it's a favor until probably you see those probably that are on catheter, or is that, you know, that thing, or that they need aid to even ease themselves. That's when you know that, wow. So these things are taken for granted. Which of the favors of our Lord do we deny as human beings? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us grateful. Seriously, because as you say that thing, it struck me really that
what I can even say on that is because we don't understand that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We don't have a power of our own. Even if we as parents, for us to open our mouth and talk, even if our throat is being cut, we can't actually find the word in our throat. Mm-hmm. So it means that it is the kun fayakun of Allah,
that is making us talk.
Sometimes we feel that it is our power or is our intellect that we are able to do things.
Yeah.
The Prophet said, ask Allah for things, even if it is salt. If you know that Allah Akbar,
you don't have control over anything.
Anything.
You don't
anything.
Have control. Absolutely. So that will probably make us humble.
Allah, even if it is a lace of shoe.
Shoe, yeah.
So if you understand that word, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, that there is no power.
No you mind. Do things nothing.
On your own. It is not because you're
you
smart.
Have no control on anything.
Of Yoruba that used to say that things can happen to the most smartest person, and it looks like a dance. Do you understand? Like you feel you are smart, but things will happen to you,
and you feel like I'm an idiot.
People will even tell you you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And usually you will accept it. Like,
truly, I am.
So nobody is wise.
Mm-hmm.
If you really understand that, you won't even mock anybody in the first instance.
Yes,
you will
be
always
humble.
Go back to Allah to ask for anything.
Mm.
You will always praise Allah because it is only when you understand that it is not by your power.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you,
that we thankful
these persons like
grateful.
You mentioned, some people will still say they didn't do it right. If they had done it right, you will see some people that is not a doctor. They tell you how fertility work. If you had done it like this, if you had done it like that, you would have gotten a child.
Subhanallah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It is not by power or by mind.
You don't have control over anything.
If you understand that it is only Allah
that is
can
in charge.
Decide things. Sometimes you feel you want to take this route, and you are going to meet something like this. It is not every dark tunnel that there is light.
Seriously. Seriously. No, let's not even start there. All right. Very quickly now, because I want us to be time conscious now. So I have our three questions and we're running out of time. All right. There are times that when, it seems like our dua is not answered. That tends to bring frustration or even make us distant from Allah. That I asked Allah for this and He did not give me. I prayed for this and it did not happen. How should a believer navigate this moment in a way that strengthens rather than weakens their relationship with their Creator?
Alhamdulillah. I've been waiting for Firstly, is that there is no dua that you Allah help you to make that mm-hmm. it is not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not going to be accepted, you wouldn't even be able to say it. Okay, let me use this example. There is this book I read that was saying that Shaitan spoke to Musa, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and he says, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, I am going to enter al-Jannah. Ah, Musa, being the kind of man that he is, he was so angry. He said, how will you do it? He said, I don't worry, I will enter al-Jannah. He said, okay. And when Musa has the opportunity to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, yes. He said he has something that he would do, that if he does it, he will enter al-Jannah. Ha! Nabi Musa said, Allah! So Musa will enter, Shaitan will enter al-Jannah. After all he has done, after he has misled people, this is a call to everyone, that you shouldn't allow Shaitan to mislead you. He's a certain enemy that Allah has told you that he's an enemy. So if he has that assurance that he's going to enter al-Jannah, and he has misled a lot of people, so Allah now says, yes, he has something that if he does, I will actually forgive him. But I will not allow him to remember.
Allah Akbar.
And that brought us to this popular istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi.
Say this istighfar.
La ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa alika mustatatu wa ana bika and the light. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that if Shaitan has that kind of conviction
that
he will call on his Lord. If you look at that, the meaning of that dua itself, you will know it is very comprehensive. And when it gets to a stage that you know that you have committed a lot of atrocities, please go back to that dua. And it's just like this Salatul Tasbih. Now, if Shaitan has this kind of conviction, how much more you?
That you think you do dua and
yes, Allah wants you to come back again, 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 and again. So there are four ways by which your prayers have been answered.
Okay.
It is either you get the actual response to your dua
instantly,
or Allah delays for a purpose.
Okay.
Or Allah uses it to block some evil that are coming in your path.
Word of evil.
And the most amazing one is you saying those things, especially waiting for you on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Prophet says that when a mu'min, a Muslim, meets what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him or her as regard what he has requested for on earth, he will have told Allah, you shouldn't have even asked any of my dua. And how will you be able to navigate life? So for every Muslim, if that dua is not going to be accepted, you wouldn't be able to make it. For you to have made it, it means that it is actually going to be accepted by Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing is just that the ways by which Allah accepts it is what probably you don't know. So be calm, know that Allah is aware of what you even want to request before you request it.
Yes.
So why are you disturbing yourself? Yours is to do it. You know, just as you said, I remember that a particular dua that I think one of the companions, I think Abdullah bin Mas'ud also was brought to said that, Allahumma anta amartana bi du'aik. You are the one that you are the one that commanded us to pray.
Yes.
And we have prayed as you have commanded us.
Yes.
So now, Allah, accept the dua as you have promised.
Yes.
So, you know, sincerely, it makes you understand the fact that Allah is just merciful. So let's just be calm. Let's just be humble and be patient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, in a world that is filled with distractions and constant noise, what role does, do solitude, reflection, and intentional time with Allah play in rebuilding a sincere and personal connection with Him?
It plays a lot of role because it helps you to navigate life with ease. There is this kind of sakina that you meet when you have that time to your Lord. Even everything has its own time. There's time to trade. Allah gave us time for everything. That is why on Friday he says, go for your Juma. After Juma, he said, go back to your trade.
Yeah.
So Allah has not leave us alone. He has given us a manual to navigate life. Now, specifying time for your Lord, trying to create time between you and your Lord, is very important. Just like we create time for children. In fact, these days people preach, create me time.
Yeah.
Create time for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you have to create time for your spouse, create time for your children, create time for your business. You know, sometimes like people will say, I remembered my somebody was talking to me and said, at night, it is not easy for you to leave your night for anything. It is either four things. family, your relationship, maybe with your spouse, business. He said the fourth thing is maybe you are committing adultery or you are fornicating or something like that, because that time is a very crucial time where you want, Allah says it's a resting time.
Mm.
You see, Allah has shoveled things down for us in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So creating that time has to be intentional as well.
Okay.
It's in the dinner, Yisroel. Islam is so good. Ah, Allah Akbar, alhamdulillah. So easy. It's so easy. So even if it is just 2 rakah, just be consistent with it. Okay, I want to wake up for Qiyam al-Layl. Even if you wake up for Qiyam al-Layl around 5 o'clock, you don't have to wake up 2 o'clock like everybody does if you don't have the capacity. Make it a gradual thing. Okay, I want to wake up 5 o'clock every day. 2 rakah. Then I raise my hand to Allah, do some, if it is just 3 istighfar, let it be a connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
Astaghfirullah, not astaghfirullah, I did astaghfirullah 1,000, no. If it is astaghfirullah, ah, Allah, I committed sin yesterday, I cheated on someone. Ya Allah, please help me not to cheat on people. You have to do it. Even bringing your heart back to you, Allah, connecting your heart, you have to pray over it. Like people will say today, they'll say, dua it.
Mm.
Dua, yes. Like, tell Allah, Allah, I know I'm distant from you. I want to be connected to you. So, 2 rakahs, raise your hand to Allah. Even if it's just a verse of the Quran, you'll be rewarded for it. Mm. Go for Salah to Subi. After Salah to the Subi, do your little adhkar. If you're able to do some nawafil after that, fine. Because there's a reward for it, that you go for Hajj and Umrah that is accepted, and you go to your daily activities. While you are going to work, what stops you from saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah?
And so invariably, because of time, we just have to be intentional about the time we
exactly
reserve.
Yes.
To connect with our Lord.
Of course.
And I think that's because I feel like if we can have time to say you want to go to school, you have time that I say, okay, this time I go to work.
Yes.
My work is probably, okay, like they say, 9 to 5.
No.
The 9 to 5, type. Now, so what time are you creating for your Lord? It is something that you just have to.
Of course.
You must have. And you must be consistent with it. And that's what I love where you said, it doesn't have to be very long.
No.
Let it be quality time.
Exactly.
That you're spending with your Creator. Mm-hmm. And at that particular time, you're forgetting it. And that's the idea of seclusion.
Yes.
That I'm saying that this time is reserved solely for Allah. Nothing else will
come in between
myself and my Creator.
Even if you have to put your phone on flight mode.
Yeah.
The world
at that particular time.
Because if you die today, the world still continue.
Mm-hmm.
So the world is not going to stop because of you. Let it be a time that you know that, okay, I can have between me and my Lord, and it is very of essence. Oh. It's of essence because these are the things you meet in the grave as well.
All right. On a final note now, because you are talking about reconnecting with our Creator, for someone listening right now who feels like the relationship with Allah has become purely routine, mechanical, with little emotion, depth, or sincerity, so what first steps would you advise to begin for the person to begin connecting with their Lord in a real and lasting way?
Alhamdulillah. Firstly, you need to know that the connectivity comes and goes.
Okay.
At times it will be high, at times it will be low. But the major thing is, don't sit doing it.
Okay.
Don't let Shaitan convince you that there's no connectivity. Let me just stop it.
Don't disturb yourself.
No.
Mm.
Let it not be like that.
Okay.
Showing up, even if you feel nothing, even if it is dry, continue.
Just
persist with it. Yes.
Okay.
And another thing is, try as much as possible to talk to your Lord. Allah, I'm empty.
Have a conversation.
Yes, have a conversation with your Lord.
Okay.
Allah, I feel empty at this time. Please help me. Sometimes when your heart is being disturbed and there is anxiety, you need to talk to the mind. That's mm-hmm. how this psychology of the mind, they will tell you that, talk to the mind and tell the mind you don't want this thing. It's just like somebody that is palpitating and say, this thing is disturbing my mind. They will say, okay, now breathe in, breathe out, then tell yourself, Sakina, I am going to do this. Those are the essence of, you see people writing positive
words of reassurance, positive
words of reassurance. So talk to your Lord, converse, have a conversation. Allah, I don't like the stage I am.
Okay.
He can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be better. Mm-hmm. I want to do this, I want to do that, and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Then draw yourself back at every point in time.
Mm-hmm.
When you are doing things, this thing I'm doing, have a second thought about it. Is this thing going to make me detach? Is it going to detach my connection from Allah? Is it going to bring me closer to Allah? Mm-hmm. In everything you do, even your business,
mm-hmm.
try as much as possible every time. Try to have a second thought. What I'm actually doing, is it something that then small softness appears? Let it be little, but let it be consistent.
Okay.
Let it be little, let it be consistent, and try as much as possible. Then have a moment of doubt, a moment of reflection with your Lord. Think of things you do and how you do them and how they can actually help you in the hereafter. So stability is not perfection. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means that you are still showing up, then the bond is not totally broken.
Okay. Alright, Jazakumullah khair. I would like to appreciate Hajja Sakina Defunla Saeed for the insight that she has shared on the program for today. Also like to thank all our listeners for being there. We do this and we are sure that you are there. That's why we keep doing this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless each and every one of us. Allahumma ameen. At this critical moment, we pray for peace in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant peace to the Middle East and the entire universe. This grace to aggressors and comfort the oppressed. Specifically, alhamdulillah, our dear listeners, as we conclude today's edition of Everyday Muslim, let's offer a heartfelt dua for our brave armed forces fighting terrorism in Nigeria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them success, protect them from harm, and reward them for their sacrifices. May He comfort the families of the fallen soldiers and provide for their needs. Allahumma ameen. To our heroes in uniform, the men and women in uniform who keep vigil to make us safe, who walk days and nights to keep all of us safe here in Nigeria, your efforts are appreciated and valued. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen your resolve and keep you safe. Your sacrifices will never go in vain. So we'd like to thank all of you for tuning in to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7 FM, which is a program that has been brought as a collaboration between Muslim Public Affairs Center, MPAC, and WFM 91.7. May Allah bless Nigeria and guide us all towards peace and prosperity. Allahumma ameen. Alright, so that has been the program for today. You can listen again to this episode or the previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on MPAC Project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episode. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, on Facebook, Everyday Muslim, on Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01 as a simple word. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m, same station, WFM 91.7 FM. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.